Our scripture today is from the book of John. John chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, and again 19 to 28. I do encourage you to follow along in your pew Bible, or if you have a Bible at home, or of course you can read on the screen. Let's pray before we do this. We thank you, Lord, for this, your word, for your word freely and joyfully given to us. We pray that what it is that you have for us, that we receive it in our hearts, and that it plants seeds to change our lives, that we may live closer to you, share your love with one another, that we may rejoice that you are our God. We also pray for your mercy to be on the sermon, that it too may be used by you and for you. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 1:68, 19 to 28. Hear now God's word. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. Verse 19. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I'm not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "No." He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" Jesus replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied. "But among you stands one who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, as you might know, if you're following along in your devotion for Advent, that the Sunday scripture is based off the lectionary. Now, I can't remember the last time I preached John the Baptist during Advent. Don't do it very often, if I've ever done it, because John the Baptist isn't up here in the Nativity. Don't oftentimes think of him as the part of the Christmas story. But we're not just talking about Christmas during Advent. We're talking about preparation, which is the whole point of Advent. And as we say every Sunday, as we talk about Christmas, is full of preparation. Are you done? Is everyone done? Christmas prep? Yeah, we got some yes, some no, some close. Yeah, we did our Christmas. One of our Christmas traditions, yesterday, which is decorating the tree. One of my favorite parts about decorating the tree is that I get to put the lights on. And then once I'm done with the lights, I'm done. I mean, I get to watch then, and they put up all the decorations and everything else. I mean, like, I'm done until Stephanie says, "Here, put this up." And then I got to put that up. That's fine. And of course, while we're decorating the tree, we're watching, you know, the Christmas classics we have on TV, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman and Elf, the other one we end up watching. So we have a lot of fun with that. But that's just, you know, part of the entire preparation process. Christmas is, it's a lot. You got to do a lot. But all this preparing, when we talk about John the Baptist, that was his whole purpose. When he saw Jesus Christ and God had called John the Baptist from birth to do just this. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. When I think about John Baptist's role, it's just that. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Another way to say that is this. I've always loved that. It's so happy and joyful. When I think of John the Baptist, who had this this very difficult and strong and important responsibility of preparing the way for God, when I think of the Godspell version of this, and I've never watched a Godspell movie, but I'm going to remedy that really soon. I see John being happy about that. Excited about his role because Jesus Christ is coming. And he wants everyone to know about it. He wants people to be ready for it. He wants the Pharisees and the Sadducees to know what's coming and to get on board. He wants the people who see their lives as trash and people who have messed up and people who are shameful. He wants them to know that Jesus is coming to bring them salvation and joy and hope and peace and love. John the Baptist was so strong and passionate about his role in life, and that's exactly what it was. It was a role, a calling for his entire life, that he said in Scripture when talking about Jesus, they're saying Jesus is baptizing too, and Jesus is doing this, and you know, what about you? You're not getting the recognition you deserve. John the Baptist's response was, I must diminish and he must become greater. His joy was that Christ's following was growing. Because for John the Baptist, it was all about Christ. And when we talk about Christmas time and Advent, I think John the Baptist's message is so important to us because when we think about Christmas and all the preparation, sometimes we do tend to lose Jesus in the midst of all of it. Sometimes we get upset that the things aren't working out the way that they should. Talking to a gentleman the other day who said to me, I asked him if he's ready for Christmas, and he said that Christmas was ruined for him 2 or 3 years ago. It made me sad. Because what I know about Jesus Christ is that Christmas can't be ruined by anything. Because the whole point of it is about Christ anyway. But the ways that Christmas become ruined is that Christmas starts becoming about other things. And that's what tends to ruin our Christmas. The baking of the cookies, when they get burnt, oh my goodness, that's so frustrating. Mind you, the dogs are happy about that. But nobody else is. When the Christmas present that we were looking for on Amazon doesn't show up until December 27th, that ruins everything. When the decoration, which we just loved because our great-grandmother gave it to us when we were 3 years old, gets put on the tree and the hook falls off and it falls to the ground and shatters. That's sad. And Christmas is ruined. When we have planned a family gathering and my stupid brother, but he's not stupid, he's very smart. And my brother can't make it for Christmas because he just moved. Christmas is ruined. But the joy of all of this is this. Christmas isn't about cookies. Christmas was never about that ornament. Christmas isn't about the fact the Christmas tree fell over. Christmas isn't even about family. Christmas is about Jesus. Plain and simple, and that's it and nothing else. All this other stuff gets wrapped up in it, and that's not a bad thing. As long as we're able to understand that everything that we do during this time and about this preparation is about one thing, Jesus Christ. And the joy that John the Baptist reminds us of during his ministry as he prepares the way for the Lord is that everything he does is about Jesus Christ. When we look at the church that we're a part of, the body of Jesus Christ, of which we are just a part of that, the church is about Christ, only Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer helped to open up my mind to help me see just how true and profound this is. And if there is anything that we're doing that does not have anything to do with Jesus Christ, we have no business doing it. If we're gathered together on Sunday because it's something that we've always done and that's the only reason, we need to rethink why we're coming. If we're raising money to make sure that the church that we've gone to for years exists for the sole purpose of itself, we need to rethink what we're doing with our funds. If we're doing a fellowship dinner just because we got extra meatballs and spaghetti out and we're not sure what to do with them, we need to think why we're gathering. Because all of it, we can still do. We do it for Christ. Now, sometimes when we think about doing things for Christ, we think that that's boring. We raise money for Jesus, of course. We have fellowship dinner for Jesus, of course. But what does that look like? Does that mean that I have to wear a tie everywhere I go? Does that mean I have to put my robe on? Does that mean I have to wear Sunday's best? Does that mean that I'm not allowed to joke around or laugh or smile? Do I have to be solemn all the time? The joy of Christmas reminds us that Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, we get to experience such gracious and wonderful things as hope, joy, peace, and love, and that's all Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, when people went out and saw him, they just didn't go out and see a man who was boring and confusing and had no joy in his life. I like to think that they went out and saw a man who was extremely passionate about the fact that the Messiah is in this world and he gets to prepare that way for him. Christmas time is our chance to prepare. Not just for a time where we get to prepare for the coming of Jesus' birth in our lives, but for a chance to prepare all those around us that Christ's birth is for them too. So I pray that we do that this season joyfully, happily, excitedly, because a week from now, a week and a day, we get to celebrate Jesus' birthday together. I'm so happy about that. Share you this benediction today. Be people of joy. Let love, let joy live in your heart and share the joy of Christ with all you meet. Share joy by seeing the good in each other. Share joy by remembering good times and hoping for good times to come. Share joy by praying for our world In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share joy. As you go out into the wonder of God's creations, share joy, peace, and hope with all you meet, this time and always. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go in peace.